Thank you so much for tuning in to Conspiracy is the Theory. My name is Reedland. Today's guest is Gary Garver. He has a show called Controlled Chaos on KCAA. He was also a producer for Howard Stern for 17 years. This is a great interview that we have going on right now. Now, I will tell you, I actually forgot to hit record at the beginning of the show. So the show went a couple minutes before I noticed it and I hit record. And the funny thing is, I actually complimented myself that I didn't screw the beginning up, which I screw up every beginning. And then I look over about a couple minutes into the thing and I wasn't recorded. So it's going to start a little bit into the show, but please listen to the entire show. It's a very touching show and it's one of my favorite ones that I've done so far. Thank you for listening. Here's the interview with Gary Garver coming up right now.
iHeart. I mean, I'm on iHeart too. My show's on iHeart and TuneIn and, like I said, Spotify or whatever it is. I just think it's just because of the car. I think the big thing is everybody still has a car radio. And I think that's a big survival mode as far as, like, you know, how radio has survived it. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's gone down. From what I understand, you know, I'm sort of on the peripheral of it now. I just do my show and all that. But I think a lot of people like to have, like, you know, like to have the structure, you know, like to be on an AM FM station so they can say, hey, I'm actually on the radio. Actually, you know, you can tune the dial into this channel and I'll be on at a certain time. So I think people like that. I think people like doing shows like that. I just think that people have car radio. So I think that's how it survived. If there wasn't any more car radios, I mean, goodbye. I mean, you know, it'd be over. But the car is the big thing. I think that's how it's really survived.
Yeah. And I've noticed, because I'm in the car business as well, Gary, that less and less cars are pre-installing SiriusXM. Did you know that? Like, a lot less cars are installing them in their vehicles at this point.
Well, Howard sucks nowadays. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm joking.
I was with Howard's for about 25 years. So I'm completely... It wasn't 17 years. Well, I just, you know, I mean, like I said, the AM FM dial will always be there. So I think people just like it and they like the information. And, like, you know, if there's something going on, like, in the world or something, they can tune into a radio and tune into a station, whether it's news or whatever it is, and find out what's going on in the world. You know, I think that's a big thing too. And there's different music on different stations. So I think they like that. And, you know, I mean, with, like, a SiriusXM, there's so many friggin' stations. There's 100 different, you know, formats. And I think it gets convoluted, you know, as far as that goes. With if you're just listening to it on an AM/FM car radio, or, you know, you only have a certain amount of stations that you can even listen to. So I think that's sort of a good aspect of it, too. So, you know, I mean, like, if everything evolves, I mean, you know, in life, radios evolve and it's barely hung on, but it's still hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be around for a while. You know, my personal opinion is I think it is. And there, the thing is, podcasts, there's 2 million podcasts out there. The average podcast, I think, is like 37 plays if you're lucky. They last about 13 episodes if you're lucky. You know what I mean? So I have a little bit more than that. So I feel thankful. But
And you're right. There's a zillion podcasts. So, you know, people don't really know where the hell to go or who's doing what. And, you know, anybody can do a podcast. I mean, you know, you can do it out of your closet if you want. So I just think it's just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's just like anything. I mean, everything's changed. You know, even watching TV, I hear more people watching, like, YouTube and, you know, going on, like, Amazon Prime and Apple Plus and all these different internet outlets and not even having, like, normal TV anymore. Because it's so costly with cable. Like, cable's got completely monopolized the TV industry, you know, and you can't even watch a TV show without paying up the yin yang for a cable, you know, outlet. So I think there's just a lot of different ways of watching things and doing things. But, like, the standard, the TV's always going to be there. The radio's always going to be there. But people are just using it in different creative ways.
I don't have cable, Gary. I bounce around from Netflix to Amazon Prime to YouTube to I have every app that you can. HBO, Stars, you know, I have them all. And I don't have cable because I like to watch what I want when I want to watch it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And that's what people do. And I know a bunch of people that do that and do not have cable or anything like that or a satellite dish. So that's just, it's just the way things are going. It's just the new age of how things are being seen. And, you know, but there's always going to be a TV and there's always going to be a cable outlet and there's always going to be an AM FM radio network out there too with radio stations on it. So, but it's not going to be it's not the end all. Like back in the day, you had to have, you know, to see anything, you had to have TV and you had to have a cable TV or whatever, or an antenna, you know, or now with the radio, it's an AM FM thing. So it's all like, everything's just, you know, like I said, everything changes. It's just, you know, remember when, the VCRs were the big thing. Now you can't even find a VCR.
No, you cannot. I think one of the VCR tapes sold on the NFT for like $30,000. I don't know. I don't remember which one it was, but it was like $30,000. And it wasn't even a great NFT tape, you know, great VHS tape. That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So everything, you know, with technology, it's getting crazier and crazier. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way technology is working. I mean, you know, maybe they'll implant a TV station and a podcast network. Who knows?
Well, you can start your own TV station on Roku. You know that, right? For a small fee, you can start your own TV station on Roku, have your own app that people can go watch your shows. That's crazy.
Oh, God. That is crazy. Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's insane. It's total insanity nowadays.
I agree. Now, let me ask you.
It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you something. If in today's world, right, do you think that if Howard Stern started today, when you guys met and you were doing the interviews you used to do, and he was doing what he used to do you think he would still break out the way that he did back then?
Yeah, I do. I think he would. Howard was like just innovative to the sixth degree. I mean, nobody was doing the stuff that he was doing. He was just so outrageous. He was saying such outrageous, crazy stuff that he created this whole thing, okay, where people act the fool and say outrageous things. Nobody was doing that before Stern. It just wasn't happening. And he just happened to find a niche and just blew it up. Nowadays, everybody can act crazy and talk nonsense and do outrageous things. But he was the original one doing it. And even when I go out, because I did celebrity interviews for him, like, you know, me and Stuttering John did those crazy interviews on the red carpet, you know, and nobody was doing that when we were doing that, when me and John were doing it in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now everybody's asking stupid questions and you know, they're all doing it. So, I mean, he would still be relevant because he started that stuff. You know, now if somebody else may have started it and he came afterwards, then that's a different story. But I mean, who knows, you know, but at that time he was the main dude. He really started the shock radio and, you know, shock talk in general. Nobody was doing that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I did see a little bit of stuff of him coming out. I went and watched the movie. I went and paid and watched that movie. That was a great movie that he did, you know. So I do agree with that. What do you think it's going to take for the next person to really be a breakout star in the podcasting and what you all did on the interviews? What do you think it's going to take that person to the next level that's innovative? Because right now there's not a lot of innovative people out there. What do you think it's going to take, Gary?
I just think somebody has to really, I think what it would, more than even being like, you know, I mean, innovative or whatever, I think it's more of a social media type thing presence. You know, people, I really don't get it. I mean, I hear about these podcasts and these other shows that there's like 50 million viewers on it or followers or whatever. So I never was able to figure the whole thing with the social media thing. And I always look back at my career, like, what if, you know, we had, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook Live and, you know, YouTube Live. I mean, could you imagine me going to these red carpet events and asking Jack Nicholson, a crazy question and having it Facebook Live, and then Howard promoting it for 45 million people, you know, 45 million listeners that he had. So, I mean, I really don't know. I don't know. I think it just has to do with the social media, how you can control the social media on your program and then do something that people enjoy. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure anymore.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what people enjoy anymore or think that's funny or you know, make people laugh or cringe or whatever. I'm sort of like out of that whole loop, man. But I think the key to any success nowadays, as far as like a show goes, is your social media presence. How do you gain those followers? How do you get those followers? How do you get the 30, 40 million followers? Because I sure don't have them, and I don't know how the hell to do it.
Streamfamous.com. About 50% of those are bought. This came on my show a couple of times, right? Because I'm also a musician. About 40 to 60% of the followers are fake, right? About 50% of the streamings online, everywhere online, is fake. It is absolutely crazy. You can go and buy it. I was telling even Ray last week, for about $45,000, I can go gold on a single. It's all fake.
That's what I figure. And I have a friend of mine who actually has an independent radio network on the internet, and he does the same damn thing. He jacks the you know, when he's on the air or whatever, when he's doing his thing, he jacks the whole thing up. And I don't know how he does it. He's never explained it to me. But I mean, that's it. It's complete BS. I always thought it was complete BS, and I guess I'm right.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm going to give you a little secret of mine, right? Because I've been on internet radio as well, right? Chaotic Radio, Radio 5150. I used to be able to go on Fiverr, and for about $15, I can get 30,000 streams in a month. And it would put my numbers through the roof. Not even going to lie to you.
Yeah.
That's $15.
And,
I did it.
No, I get it. No, I get it. I would do the same thing if I was starting out again. I mean, if I was starting out, I was still, you know, I'm sort of like, you know, I'm semi-retired. I mean, this is the sort of the end of my career, you know, after 40 years of being in it. But if I was like starting off like I did back in the early 80s and stuff like that, I'd do everything humanly possible to get numbers up and do whatever it took and blah blah blah. So that's what these people are doing. I mean, that's what they're doing, and I definitely feel that it's all BS. You know, I saw what he was doing. Like, he was actually, when we first started doing the show, actually it's Jigga Jones, that's who it is, and he would jack the numbers up where we get like, I'm like, 25,000 people are listening to this show right now, you know, and then the next day there would be 50.
That's how it works. But you know, when it comes to the podcast though, see, the podcast, it's difficult because they can't see your numbers to inflate them. They're not shown out there to the rest of the world like Spotify and Instagram and YouTube and all that stuff. So I haven't found the kink in the podcast yet. Gary, I'm telling you, the minute I find the kink in the podcast, I'm going all in on it. I'm going to make my numbers through the roof. I'm going number one.
I don't blame you. And how do you make money doing this, too? How do you make money on the podcast? Because I know a lot of people are doing podcasts, and I've asked, are you guys making any money on it? They're like, no, not really. You know, and I'm like, well, how do you make money? Well, I don't know.
Well, I get about, so every listen on my podcast, I get about 10 cents, 10, I get every 1,000 listens on my podcast, I get like $10.50. I think in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I got like 3,000 plays. So I made about $30 in the last week and a half. It's not a lot. It didn't even come close to paying for my equipment.
Nothing. No, yeah. That's cool. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you're doing what you like doing, and you're digging doing it, and that's great. I just, like I said, I have never figured it out. And I'm just, and people are like, why don't you try? And I'm like, man, I'm worn out, man. I'm done. I mean, I'm cooked. I don't have any energy to like go through all that rigmarole anymore. I mean, I've already been in the top of the heap. I was producing the number one morning show. I was on TV. I was on Stern Show, where 30, 40 million people are listening to my interviews. And I just don't have the desire to do it. But I mean, if you're starting out, and if I was starting out, I would do exactly what you're doing. I'd go bump the numbers and pay and do all that other stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing about the podcast, Gary, it's the one thing I don't have to pay for. Like when I was on AM radio, I didn't have a sponsor. Yeah. You know, we had to pay. We paid to be on the radio.
No, I know.
I think it was
I know you said you were on KCAA. I think you said you were on KCAA for a little bit.
I was.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
And they make we actually charge people to be on the, you know, it's called a brokered radio station.
Yeah. I think it was $400 a month.
Yeah, it's about $100 a week, or you know, anywhere from 100 to 200 for the hour, and you pay to be on the air. And we have a lot of people doing that. You know, so that's another way of being on the air. You say, hey, I want to be. So those are for people that want to actually do an AM/FM radio show. They'll pay anywhere from 100 to 200 for the hour, and that's how they get their name out there. But you know, like I said, it's just sort of like a totally different energy and vibe now, as opposed to when I started. You had to get on AM/FM radio to be heard. Now you don't have to. You can just do a podcast and get it up on, you know, wherever, iTunes or Spotify, all these tune. There's a ton of different iHeart. There's a ton of different social media platforms, and I have no problem with it. I'm not upset about it at all. I just, you know, I have my own point of view on how to do things. I just don't know how you can make money at it. That's what sort of blew my mind. Where, you know, how do you actually survive without sponsorships and stuff?
Yeah, you get them as your numbers go up on the podcasting. Like I had to reach a certain plateau in order to get a sponsorship for the show, and then it hits to $10.50 per thousand. When I hit another plateau, more sponsors will come, and I can put two ads in front of the show instead of one, and then they'll pay up to $15 per thousand. So that's how the podcasters make money. And there are podcasters who make 10 grand a month, 5 grand a month, you know, even more as you build your audience in there. So it is a good, but it takes years and years and years. You know, I'm fairly new on this specific podcast, though. But I do have a question.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's cool. I never knew. So you're giving me some information I never knew about.
Oh, yeah. With Anchor, when you, like, I go through Anchor, right? So when you hit a plateau on Anchor and you have a certain amount of listeners per episode per week and it's consistent, they automatically sponsor your podcast. That's why if you listen to my podcast, you know, it's sponsored by Anchor, and Anchor pays $10.50 per thousand. So that's how you get your first sponsorship.
Okay, cool. Well, that's great. Well, that's good to know. I like I said, I never knew that, and now I know, and that's great. Hey, listen, then it's worth it. That's worth hustling and working your butt off to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. The only issue with Anchor is they don't release their numbers to third parties. So when you do your show and you go through other parties, they release it to the third parties who have all these crazy charts and they analyze everything that you can use for other advertisers. Anchor doesn't do that. So that's the double-edged sword that kind of comes back and haunts you when you do use Anchor. there's always a kink
there's
somewhere.
Always some catch. Yeah, there's always a catch somewhere.
Always a catch. Now, how do you get your guests on Control Chaos, Gary? How do you find them for your show on KACA?
Just, you know, I have people hit me up, like on my emails, you know, PR people hit me up. I have, you know, throughout the years of doing the show, I have different friends that are comedians or work in the music business or actors or whatever, and you know they'll want to promote something. I also have a guy that does voice impersonations that's phenomenal. He does like Donald Trump and Andrew Cuomo, and he did Biden. He does all these different voices, so I like having him on. My radio partner for the last 10 years is Jigga Jones, Guru of the Ghetto. He calls in from Vegas once or twice a week. So I mean, that's sort of how I do it. I mean, I PR firms hit me up and I'll, you know, they'll ask me if, you know, they can have one of their clients on the show. And, you know, and then I just sort of just do my own thing. It's an hour show. So, you know, sometimes I won't have any guests and I'll just talk about what's going on in the world. A lot of the times I'll play some of my interviews from the Howard Stern show. And that's sort of how the show goes. It's sort of like a potpourri. Like you said, you don't even prepare for the show or anything like that.
Yeah.
I really don't either. I mean, once in a while, you know, like I'll make sure that a certain guest calls in at a certain time, you know, or whatever. But most of the time I'll just like, okay, well, let's do this, let's do that, you know, and make it happen that way.
That's good to know, man. You know, I want to get to the point where they're calling me to be on my show. You know, I get referrals and stuff like that, or I'll email people and try to get them on my show. But I would like PR firms to say, hey, I got this comedian coming out. We want to promote some stuff. I hope I get to that level, Gary. I want to get to the level that you're
will.
At. I appreciate that.
Oh, listen, I mean, dude, I've been doing it for 100 years. I mean, I've been doing it for 4 years. People know me from the Stern Show.
Yeah.
You know, I worked at KLSX for 18 years, you know, had my, like I said, I was a rock DJ, and then I had my show called The Single Life. So I've been around. So there's a lot of people that know me. And you know, the social media thing's good. If you ever, you know, see somebody that's doing an act or something, you're like, you know, but sometimes I'll message them, hey, we'd like to come on the show or whatever. And they'll come on, say, yeah, and they'll promote their music or whatever. So, but I, like I said, I'm at a different stage in my career where I try to do as least work as possible.
There you go. I like that. That's the thing. So what's the single life that you were saying? Were you out single looking for ladies? What kind of show is that?
It was just a show on KLSX that we were a talk station, and I just created the show called The Single Life, where we just talked about dating. I had a former penthouse pet, Sam Phillips, that was my radio partner, and we would just do different topics about dating and, you know, have you ever dated, you know, and to go, have you ever dated somebody that had BO or something like that? And what's the strangest place you had sex and just stupid topics. And then people would call in and, you know, tell us, you know, their stories and stuff like that. I wasn't really looking for women, but that was just we just named it The Single Life. I was probably with somebody most of the time I was doing the show, but that was sort of the program director gave us, yeah. Program directors give you the names, they tell you what to do, that type of crap. So that was like, that's old school radio, you know. Yeah. But you got a boss telling you what to do.
Yeah, but it sounds like it was still fun at the end of the day. Like you still had a good time doing it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've had a great career. I've been very blessed and lucky to be, you know, in Los Angeles for many years. Now I'm in Southern California on KCAA and the Inland Empire. So yeah, I mean, everything I've done has been pretty fun. You know, I mean, it's not really work, and it's more, for me, it's therapeutic too. You know, being able to speak, and if you're bummed out, you're upset about something, I can just go on I can just crack the mic and do my show on the thing that's pissing me off. You know? Yeah. Or making me upset, or discuss certain things, or, you know, there's a lot of inadequacies going on in the world. A lot of negative things, a lot of negative energy, and people getting screwed over, and, you know, so I like talking about that. Like, you know, how the human race really, you know, a lot of people get screwed by other people, and it's not really cool. So, it's therapy for me now.
I get it. I see some things that are going on in the world today. I'm like, why? We should just all be able to get along, man. This is absolutely, we're in 2022. There shouldn't be any war. Everything should already be in a different area than where we're at. Now, I know before you came on the show, we were going to discuss the realm. You wanted to maybe talk about, from my conspiracy, this theory show, the next realm.
Yeah. You know, and we spoke a little bit, you know, about it. For a minute, yeah, I just lost my younger brother.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Scott Barber, about 3 months ago, to a very rare brain disease called CADASIL, and I was his caregiver for I took care of him for about 9-10 years, and we were together together every day for the past 9-10 years, and it was very difficult. I mean, it still is very extremely difficult to even be on this planet, to even breathe, to be a part of this planet, especially the way it's going with all this hatred and divisiveness and, you know, wars and, you know, everything's out of control, you know, the pandemic, everything's nuts. And when he passed, there's been so many supernatural things that have happened since he has passed, like beyond anything I can imagine. And I'm a very spiritual person. I sort of went through this with my dad in 1996 when he passed on. I saw some really amazing things, and I don't really want to delve into that. But with my brother Scott, who is 2 years younger than me, it's been like on almost, well, definitely on a weekly basis and almost on a daily basis that I get some vision or I get something from him. He comes to me in some capacity. And I just want to let the people out there know that there is life after this. And this is just a test. Yeah. And a lot of people don't buy into it and think you're crazy. And sometimes so many things have happened to me in the past, like 3 months, that I'm almost thinking that I'm crazy. But I know I'm not. You know?
Yeah.
You just have to look for it. I know you had a tragedy with your, one of your children or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my baby boy, 10. Not this November before, but before that, he passed away from a tumor, and it was, nobody knew it was there. It was instantaneous. And I'll be honest, man, I'm still struggling with that. So I get where you're coming from. You know, I throw myself into bottles of whiskey at nighttime to sleep. It is a struggle for me, you know, and my mom goes through that too. You know, my mom.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, it's okay. What were you saying, Gary?
No, I was going to say my mom is having problems too, but go ahead. Yeah, I know. I can imagine that your mom, I can't even imagine what you're going through.
Oh, it's tough. You know, like I said, my mom, like when my grandpa passed, like my mom, my mom says my grandpa hides stuff from her and he'll put a penny down for her to find the penny. So my mom completely, exactly what you're saying, my mom is on board 1,000,000%. She goes to a lot of the people who talk to those and she can, my mom is in there with you, Gary, 100%. You know, like I said, I struggle with it because I'm heartbroken and I never talk about this on the air ever. But it is something that I do struggle with, and you know, all I can do is hit that bottle. I try not to.
I didn't even know when my brother passed. I didn't even know if I could even do another radio show.
Yeah,
I mean, he died in the middle of January, and I was like, I don't think I can go back on the air. I don't think I can do this. Yeah. I think I'm done. You know, and I understand the struggle and how you can't talk about it, but you know. What I would say to you, Chris, is that, you know what, you know, they're there. He's there for you. He's watching after you.
I appreciate that. And so is your brother, man.
I know that. No, I know my brother, sir. He's driving me crazy. He's always here.
What are some of the things that he does for you? What are some of the things that he does that drive you crazy?
I'm not, when I say crazy, he's not really driving me crazy, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a very spiritual thing. Like when he passed on, you know, like a week after, just so many weird things. Like, I had to go to LA to do some work, like about, I don't know, a few days after he passed on. And that night that I had to go to LA because I live in Palm Springs, my smoke alarm upstairs went off just at like 10 o'clock at night for no reason. There was no smoke. There was no nothing. It went off. And then I tried to shut it off. It wouldn't shut off. Then it finally shut off. And about 2 hours later, it went back on. And I was like, Scotty, okay, any other day I would love this, but I have to go to LA to work. It was the first day I was really going back to work.
I
would play golf a lot. Me and him used to play golf a lot. He was a great golfer. He was like a great athlete, scratch golfer. And I was playing golf about 2 weeks after he passed. And it was right after the smoke alarm had gone off. It was the same week. And I was playing golf and I was on this hole and I barely missed the putt. And I go, Scott, come on, man, move the ball, knock it in. And I swear to God, the ball moved. It didn't go in. It moved to the side. Mm-hmm. And there was no wind, no nothing. And I just started, like, typical of him not knocking the ball in. It was just to the side. Lights going on out of, you know, for no apparent reason. Just so many crazy things happened. Just spiritual things. I talk to him all the time. I ask him questions and he answers me. Birds, all sorts of birds. And just, you know, I asked him, I said, you know, he was a big Rams fan. Who should I take to win the Super Bowl? He goes, well, take the Bengals in the points, but the Rams are going to win by 3. Well, look what happened.
Oh,
the
wow.
Rams won by 3.
That's
yeah,
cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So things like that. I talk to him all the time about even decisions I make, you know, like, what do you think about this? Okay, do this, do that. You know, so he's constantly with me. And I had a medium out of the blue, like I was really in a dark spot about a month after he passed. I mean, one weekend, I just didn't even want to be here. I felt like I just wanted to be in the next realm. And this medium I had on my show about 4 years ago, only had her on one time, only met her once. About a month after Scotty passed, she Facebooked me and sent me a message about how Scotty contacted her. And gave me this crazy message about Scotty. And, I mean, it totally, like, settled me down. Like, the darkness went away for a little bit.
Oh, man.
So these type of things have been happening throughout. A bird out of the blue about a week ago flew. It landed in my patio and couldn't fly for, like, 3 days. And then all of a sudden, about 3 days later, it flew away. It was hopping around my patio for 3 days. And then just one evening, it flew away, and I heard it chirping so loud that it brought tears to my eyes that it was my brother. That was my brother doing that. So just what I would tell you and anybody else who's going through a bad period or lost a loved one, and like your mom is, and this is what your mom's doing, yeah, and you need to do this, is look for the signs. Open up your heart to it. Open up your soul. Open up your spirit to allow you to see the signs from your loved ones from the next realm. And sometimes it's almost over, like with Scotty, because I know some friends say, well, I don't see any signs from any of my relatives, or I don't see any signs from anybody. You know, I feel bad for them. My signs are almost overwhelming from him because we were so close and I took care of him for 10 years and we were so close as brothers for 50 plus years. You know, so I say, just open up your heart, open up your soul, open up your spirit to see the supernatural, and it will show itself. But you have to be open to it. You have to be able to say, I'm going to do this. Please come to me. I want to talk to you. I love you. Please help me. Please show me something. Give me something positive. Show me some light, and it will shine.
That sounds like great advice. What I did is, you know, I went to drinking even more and more, and then I turned around and built a recording studio. I had a little recording studio, and then, you know, what I did is I went, like, way overboard. I built a record. When we moved, I put a recording studio in my garage. I ended up buying, like, 11 guitars and went all in, dude. So I dumped myself into music and into all this stuff right here. You know, I was already doing the things I'm doing, but I, like, amplified it. Like, I poured everything, even more than I should have poured into it, just to try to.
Well, no, you weren't. No, don't say it was more than you should have done. It wasn't. That was your healing. That was how you're trying to heal yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, listen, there's no right or wrong reason or a certain method to heal. Sometimes you never heal. I don't know if I'm ever going to heal from this. Me and him are so close. And I mean, we fought this terrible battle where he was once a great athlete, a scratch golfer, a personal trainer, and it became him not even being able to walk or not being able to see, and me feeding him and doing everything for him. And the frustration of 9 years of the doctor saying there's no cure, there's no treatment, there's no medicine. For 9 years he had to hear this shit. And you know, so there's no, I don't know if I'm ever going to heal from this. I don't know if I'm ever going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so don't say you didn't do it the right way. You did it your way. And the bottom line is that that's how we have to view life, is that, you know, there is no right way or wrong way. And some people just are not going to understand it. And some people are probably going to get sick of hearing about it, but that's okay. You know what? Then those aren't the people you want to be around. You got to be around people that do want to be a part of it. And sometimes you just have to take it within yourself and be that person to just say, hey, you know what? It's okay for me not to be okay. It's okay not to be okay.
Yeah, I agree.
It's okay. Just don't self-destruct. That's the key. I mean, because we can, you know, you can easily self-destruct. I mean, I felt like self-destruction. I mean, you know, until I got that message, man, I mean, if I didn't have my mom still on the planet, who knows if I'd still be here, you know? So you just have to sort of just get through it, man. And it's hard. It's hard. And, you know, you may never be the same. I may never be the same, but that's okay. You know, this is just a test. This is just a test, sure. And I really do believe the next realm was beautiful. I mean, Scotty's showing me so many beautiful things. He's like, you know, hey, yeah, I played baseball with, he was a big, great baseball player. He says, I played baseball with Babe Ruth the other day. So it's so magical. Heaven's so magical. And you gotta believe, you know, and I know everything, you know, and you have a right to be mad at God and question God and go, why'd you do that to my son? And I do the same thing. Why'd you do that to my brother? You see people walking around who are complete a-holes, or you see people who are homeless that are like, why are they here? And, you know, my brother's not here. You know, I mean, what did he do to deserve this? But you just, you know, my thing is, hey, I just love God. I know there's a reason. And you're going to see your son one day, and I'm going to see my brother one day. And that's it. That's it. That's how you. It's tough, brother. I know it's tough.
Oh, I agree tough. Completely. And, you know, I never blame God. You know, it's you're given things in life for a reason, and for whatever the reason is. We don't understand now, but one day we will. And, you know, my studio, the name of my studio is called Therapy Sessions. Just so you know, I have a big neon pink sign. It's a neon pink sign, right? In my studio, I built a bar in there too. But it's called Therapy Sessions. My son's picture is right behind me on the wall because he's always in here with me. And I'm in here 3 hours a day, just about every single day. I come in here and I work on music, and I get inspired, and or I do my podcast, or I just watch videos to kind of get away from the world. So this is what I go through, you know.
Well, that's awesome. See, you've already got a mechanism to be a part with your son's with you all the time.
Oh yeah,
and you're doing your thing, and he's enjoying it, and he's so happy that you know. He's there helping you out, writing the music and doing your thing and doing your podcast and all that. So, you know, just always know that. Just like my brother is always with me, telling me what to do and how to, you know, how to be, and just, you know, like, hey, this is, you know, this, we're just here, you know, we're just here on this planet for a minute. You know what? They're here with us for eternity, man. And we're going to see them again, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the beauty of life. So, you know, just don't drink yourself, you know, over the edge. That's what I'll say.
I'm getting better and better. You know, I'm getting better at controlling it, but I got pretty bad for, I'm not going to lie, I got probably the worst I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm a very upfront and open person. I try not to hide who I am, because this is who I am regardless. You know, I might as well be upfront. So I am getting much better, but I went way down, Gary, like way down. So now I'm coming back up.
I hear you. I hear you. Listen, I'm screwed up right now. I mean, I you know, and I say on my radio show all the time, it's okay not to be okay. And I'm screwed up too, and I'm way down too. I'm low. I mean, it's hard for me to even talk to anybody or like go out. I used to love to go out and hang out. I don't even want to go see anybody or do anything. So I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm with you. It's tough. It's tough. You know, especially when you go through a tragedy like you went through. And you know, my tragedy was a little different, but it was a tragedy to see my little brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, yeah. See what happened to him and see what happened to your son. So, I mean, there's a lot of tragedies in this world and on the planet, and we just got to know that there's a better energy. This is just a test. This is what I say to everybody. It's just a test to get to the next realm. Now, are you a good soul? Do you care about people? Do people right? Do you treat everybody with respect, things like that. So just little things like that. So, you know, just always know your son's with, he's with you right now. Your son's with you right now.
And your brother's with you, man. And I definitely appreciate that. I will say, Gary, anytime you want to reach out and call me, if you need to talk, dude, I'm always here for you. 100%, man. You know, 100%.
Likewise, Chris.
I appreciate
that,
brother.
If you ever want to talk. Yeah. If you ever want to talk and just get some, you know, talk about the, you know, feeling down or whatever, and, you know, want to talk about the next round. Cause I, you know, even the medium said, like, you know, it says, Gary, you're really connected to, you know, you can talk to Scotty anytime. Like, I don't need a medium to talk to Scott. Like, I talk to him all the time. I go, I know I talk to him. We talk all the time. So, man, it was great being on your show, and congratulations on it. And I hope it, you know, kicks ass. And like I said, anytime you need to talk, or I'd love to come on your show again. We'll definitely do it.
I appreciate it. And you're welcome anytime. Now tell the listeners again where they can catch your show. Control Chaos, that again.
Yeah, Control Chaos. It's on KCAAradio.com. If you're in the Inland Empire, it's 10:50 a.m. and 106.5, 102.3 FM. It's on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can also catch it on iHeart. Just look up Gary Garver on iHeart. And I put up my best episodes, which is very few and far between.
I'm sure there's quite a few up there, Gary.
There's not that many. I haven't posted one in a couple of weeks. But I try to post the best one. So you can tell that I'm not doing that great of a job right now. But, yeah, it's cool. Like I said, it's therapy. And I'm sure this is therapy for you too, Chris. So just hang in there, man. And, you know, your mom's the guide, man. She's got it wired. So, you know, maybe talk to her about the supernatural and how she feels about things. And it may give you some positive energy.
I definitely am. I have shows I'm going to do with my mom. Just, you know, Gary, it's called Mama Knows. Like, I have one to do with her. Mama Knows Who Killed Kennedy, because she swears she knows who killed Kennedy. You know, so I have a whole line of Mama Knows special shows coming up, man.
Well, maybe she can come on. Maybe you guys both can come on my show, and she can tell me who killed Kennedy.
You let me know when you want us there. I'm bringing my mama, and she's going to let you know exactly who killed Kennedy. She knows.
So. Okay, well, we'll maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll get mama on the show.
All right, sounds good, brother. All right, you have a good night. Thank you so much, Gary.
You too. God bless, man.
Be well. Bye-bye. Okay. And music needs, go to therapysessionstudios.com. I don't seem to be able to end the shows as well as I begin them either. So, all right, thank you guys for tuning in. Reeland, conspiracy is the theory.com. Thank you so much.